Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
The Republican-led General Assembly this summer refused to keep a temporary sales tax increase on the books and instead addressed a massive shortfall with budget cuts only, resulting in layoffs of thousands of teachers, teacher assistants, and other state employees. Representative Bill Faison, like most of his fellow Democrats, opposed that decision and is now urging lawmakers to reconsider it and reinstate a portion of the tax increase to restore many of the budget cuts and to rehire many of the workers who have been fired. Faison joins us now on News and Views to talk about it. Representative Faison, thank you very much for being with us. We appreciate your time.
I'm glad to be here, Chris.
Let's just start talking about your proposal. You have been talking for quite a while now about trying to add 7/10 of an increase to the sales tax back to make up for some of the cuts. Tell us why.
Well, we've got a terrible situation. As you know, we have over 468,000 people out of work in North Carolina. We are at 10.1% in July. We are worse off now. We're at 10.4%. Over 13,000 more people have lost their jobs with so many people out of work and with so many more people going out of work. I just took a hard look at what the budget did, not just based on what the Justice Center was publishing, but I had fiscal research take a look at it for me as well. As you know, the legislature has a fiscal research division that looks at the economic impact of laws. They looked at it, and what I found out is that 6,455 state employees had lost their job as a result of this budget. Worse, not based on fiscal research, but based on the work at the Justice Center, that 15,415 private sector jobs had been lost as a result of cuts to Medicaid and SCHIP, programs that are matched by the federal government, $2 and $3 for every state dollar we spend. And those are funds that not only go to help people who are in desperate need of health care and impoverished, but those funds also provide jobs for people in the private sector. On top of all that, another 12,292 jobs are projected to have been lost as a result of the economic impact of the state jobs going away and as an economic impact of the private sector jobs going away as a result of those cuts. Now, the question is, what can you do to change that? And I asked the same question of fiscal research, and what I found out is that we could cut the penny sales tax by 30%, roll it back into the budget, and rehire every single state employee, every teacher, every teacher's aide, every single state employee who's been fired as a result of this budget. Not only that, we could go back in and fully fund Medicaid and SCHIP, putting back to work 15,415 private sector jobs, and the totality of doing this would put over 36,000 people back to work. Well, the next question is, well, how does the public feel about this? Well, you know, Elon did a poll when it was a penny sales tax and found that almost 60% of the people in the state supported having the penny sales tax. And this was before you could tie that penny sales tax to a single lost job. Now that by implementing a cut of 30% to that number and being able to tie it directly to putting 36,000 people back to work, my handshake poll, the one that I think is the most important, the one taken at the country store and the church and the fire department, is that 100% of the people I talk to repeatedly say this. They say that if it will put my friends, neighbors, and other people back to work, I fully support it. And besides, it's the fairest tax, because everybody pays it.
Obviously, you've heard from, maybe not directly, but Speaker Tillis has been on a town hall tour and saying that he not only disputes the job figures, but believes that the tax cut by taking the sales tax off will actually return more than $1 billion to the economy, and that will create more jobs.
I've been listening to voodoo economics from the Republicans all this session, and I think Speaker Tillis is just ignoring the facts. The fiscal research department at the legislature is nonpartisan and I believe well respected across the state for what it does. And what it has done is gone in to look at the impact, direct impact to state employees, teachers, teachers' aides, others. And as you know, every single Republican speaking on the budget who had anything to say about education said, our cuts will not cause the loss of a single teacher's job. Well, we know that's absolutely wrong. DPI has reported the number of teachers who've been fired as a result of this budget. And what the Republicans omitted to say when they were talking about this was they knew they were going to cut teachers' aides' jobs as well. So Tillis's economics are fundamentally and terribly flawed.
He also said recently that he wouldn't consider a tax increase until the legislature considered selling things like Rex Hospital and the railroads and other state holdings to make up the difference. What do you think about that approach?
Much as I like Representative Tillis individually, and I do, and I've worked with him on a number of projects before he became Speaker, the fact that he was elected Speaker by slightly over a majority of the folks in the legislature doesn't, in my mind, change the significance of his opinion from any other member. Now, the fact that he's Speaker means that he has greater ability to control the flow of legislation. And in fact, it's widely reported that he said that before he would allow a re-implementation of any portion of the sales tax, he would resign as Speaker. Well, if that's the only impediment to us putting 36,000 people back to work, then I think he needs to resign the position. We have to be focused in a practical and common sense way on dealing with a terrible problem we now face. We are teetering again on the edge of double dip recession. We can look around the world. We can just look at Europe and see what a terrible situation they're in. Everybody's focused on Greece. Take a look at Spain for a moment. You have 20% unemployment in Spain. That's general unemployment, 40% among the youth. I think some of those economies may be telling us where we may be headed. As you know, in this state at 10.4% unemployment, that's overall. If you look at minorities, if you look at youth, if you look at less well-educated people, the unemployment goes up just dramatically. And one of the things you see, there's a general dissatisfaction with how government is dealing with people and problems. Now, the first thing you saw in this was sort of the far-right tax movement of the Tea Party crowd. But there's another movement that seems to be growing and building, and that's the anti-Wall Street crowd. And those demonstrations have now started. If you go look, there's a New York Times article that came out this past spring looking at the job prospects for kids coming out of college. And what it was showing is that roughly 50% of the kids coming out of college who were going to find employment, now a chunk of them are not finding any employment, but of those who find employment, roughly half of them are finding employment in a field that does not require a college degree. Now, they're carrying a loan burden based on a college education intended to be paid with a college-qualified job. And they've got jobs that don't require any college education at all, and they're not going to be able to carry their burden. They're not going to be able to support themselves. We've got a lot of problems, and we don't need to have the government in that situation turning out 36,000 people into the street without a job. When I talk to people about whether to cut that sales tax 30% and put it back in the budget, what folks are responding to is a dedication to helping each other. I mean, we can fix this problem, but we have to work together in a common sense and practical way to do it. I don't think that just solving this part of the problem solves the jobs problem. But what I do think is this is the easiest part to solve, and it allows people to use government to help each other, which really ought to be what we're doing with government to start with.
And finally, we only have a couple seconds left. I did want to get your feelings about, we've been talking about jobs, you've been talking about jobs, and yet just a couple weeks ago, the General Assembly passed an anti-gay marriage amendment to put it on the ballot. I wonder what your thoughts were about the amendment and the appropriateness of doing that.
Well, I voted against the amendment. I voted against putting it on the ballot. I think at a time when we need to be focusing our energy on our economy and making sure people can eat and have housing, that chasing the Republican social agenda is the wrong thing to do.
Well, Representative Faison, thanks for what you're doing. Thanks for being with us.
Glad to be, Chris. Enjoyed talking with you.
Up next, a look behind the latest poverty numbers. Stay with us.